Welcome to Lawmen, a podcast about local legends and obscure curiosities from days of yore. I'm Alistair Beckett-King.
And I'm James Shakeshaft.
And James and I just got back from the Green Man Festival near Abergavenny, Wales.
Brecon Beacon.
And we brought back some recordings, which did not work out exactly as planned.
There better be of debatable sound quality.
They are of debatable sound quality.
With the sound of rain in the background.
Yes, they're very atmospheric.
You got anything about toasters?
That may be a long toaster anecdote, yeah. It's the story of Sir Gawain and the Green Knight.
With inserts from a tent.
We're at the Green Man Festival. The Law Boys are on tour.
More like tour boys.
Tour boys, yes, tour men.
If we fall out and have a Peter Underwood-style copyright dispute...
over who owns the Lawmen, yeah.
I'm going to either call it the Real Lawmen...
I'm going to call it the Lawmen Society Club.
Or Tour Boys, where we flip the L upside down and mirror it so there's two prongs.
My hope is that when we split up as a law podcasting duo, we both found a partner and then... both of us then leave that one until eventually there are two separate lawmen entities, neither of which contain us.
Like my grandparents set up. Step-grandparents.
Like your grandparents or the Sugar Babes.
Yeah.
So, James, clear it up. Are your grandparents the Sugar Babes?
Hey. They weren't ever in the official Sugar Babes that was recognised by law.
No, okay, all right.
And they weren't in a tribute band called the Stevia Gals.
That's a really good name for a Sugar Babes tribute band.
Thanks. It's the name of a band that has only been legal in this country for a few years.
Was Stevia illegal in this country?
Stevia has only been legal for like maybe 10 years or something.
Is that because Stevia is horrible? Really horrible compared to sugar?
Yeah, it's grim.
It's like being given a little bit of sugar and then being slapped. Because to begin with, you're like, no, this is all right.
So that's probably what happened to whoever makes the rules about whether things are allowed to be sold. Yeah. And they tasted it and went, yeah, okay. It seems like, oh, no, thank you.
But it was too late. The stamp had already come down. Approved.
Yeah, so Stevia Gals.
So eager-eared listeners might have noticed that you and I were in a tent a few minutes ago.
Yes.
At the Green Man Festival.
Yes.
We went there with the full intention of recording an episode of the Lawmen podcast. We are now back at home.
At the last minute.
Because it didn't quite work out.
Yeah.
But I have the Green Man tapes, the bootlegs from that festival. I'm going to subtly and seamlessly weave them into this episode. Ooh. I don't think you're even going to notice.
Like a sort of, like a Radio 4 documentary?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, you're getting the real stuff here. You're getting Lawmen unplugged.
I've done that before.
Well, it does explain the audio quality of the of the on-location stuff. Since we're talking about Green Man Festival, which is in Wales, I wanted to get a story which was a bit Welsh and also had a green man in it.
Surely such a thing cannot exist.
Okay, well, hold on to your expectations there, James. I have for you the story of Sir Gawain and the Green Knight. Now a major motion picture.
Oh.
Yeah, I put a little sticker on the front of the book, ruining the book.
Yep.
So it's not the film with Dev Patel. Someone tweeted that the Rotten Tomatoes score for it is critic score 87%, audience score 49%.
Oh.
And that is how you know it is a good film.
Challenging.
It's going to be for people like you and me, James, people who listen to this podcast. The intellectuals, the elite.
Well.
Snobs.
I'd heard of Sir Gawain and the Green Knight, and I wondered why I didn't really know that much about it. I've got no idea what happens in the story, so I thought before this podcast I'd have a little look just to get myself, you know, vaguely acclimatised.
Very assiduous of you, well done.
Sir Gawain and the Green Knight, prose poem, and I'd close my browser and put my phone face down.
Slid the phone into a storm drain.
Yep.
Gone. All right, yeah, it's a poem. Yes, it is a chivalric romance. Romance? Or romance is another way of pronouncing that word.
Oh, go on, yeah.
It's a chivalric romance written in the 14th century. using an alliterative rhyme scheme.
Alliterative.
Not an illiterate rhyme scheme. I'm just trying to get the kids interested. They love alliteration.
Mm.
And there's going to be some spoilers for it as well. So I don't know if we might be spoiling the plot of the film.
Oh, yeah, probably.
Maybe. Well, we haven't seen it. It's not out yet. So, sorry. And also, it's been out since the 14th century, so you've had your chance to read it.
Yeah, come on.
So it's contemporary with the Canterbury Tales, but way harder to read for some reason. I don't know why. Read aloud, the Canterbury Tales sounds quite like normal English.
Well, it sounds like a drunk farmer.
Whereas this sounds like, I don't know if it's like just a drunk farmer from the Wirral,
because
that's the area it was written, sort of Cheshire kind of Wirral.
Drunk Scouse.
Maybe if I read it with a Scouse accent, it'll make more sense.
A drunk Scouse accent.
Drunk Scouse. Okay. I'll give you a sample. This is the opening of Sir Gawain and the Green Knight. Brace yourself. Sithen the siege and the assault would cease at Troy, the body Britain then brent to Bronde and Askers, the talk that the trams of treason there wrought was tried for his trickery, the truest on earth.
It does sound like a Scouse person talking to me. No, but it sounds like...
Are you saying that sounds like Scouse people normally sound to you?
Yeah. Something about trams? Was there something about trams at the end?
To put that in modern English, I think, that is... After the siege and the assault was ceased at Troy, the town burnt to brands and ashes, the traitor that the trammels of treason there wrought was tried for his trickery, the truest on earth.
It does work. I still don't understand what's going on, but it does sound like...
You like it better with the Scouse accent.
It's right, yeah.
I have read it in the Middle English, and it has roughly the same number of unique words in it as lines, which means if you're like me, don't really speak Middle English, it's quite difficult because every new line has a word in it that never appears anywhere else in it.
Oh, right. Okay. Not like made up for the poem.
Not made up.
He's not pulling a Shakespeare.
No, it's not like...
He doesn't coin a new word every line just so it rhymes.
Well, unfortunately, James, the word for that is nonce words. And I think you can see why I didn't want to bring up the concept of nonce words.
Is that where nonsense comes from?
No, it's not where nonsense comes from. It means the wants. What's that song? Some people call me Space Cowboy. What's that song called? Some people call me Maurice.
Gangster Love.
Because I speak with the pompetus of love. Pompetus is a nonce word because it was just made up for that song. It doesn't mean anything.
Oh.
Don't say it to your friends.
Don't say it twice.
Well, if you say it twice, it's a twonce word, I guess. Here's my pitch to you why you should be interested in this, because it is the earliest story I can think of that has an M. Night Shyamalan-style twist in the tale.
Ooh.
I'm trying to make it relevant to you, the kids. So, we begin. Camelot.
The theme park?
No, the National Lottery Administrative Organization. King Arthur's Court, Camelot. It's New Year's Eve. Everybody is having a whale of a time. All the knights are there.
Oh, lads.
King Arthur. And then a stranger rides in, astride a mount.
Probably with good news.
You be the judge.
No.
He's massive. He's a giant. Absolutely huge. And this is going to shock you. He's actually green. His skin and his clothes. He's like the Hulk, essentially. He's a massive green guy.
I've said before about I saw a green man.
When did you see a green man?
At a train station.
Where was he going?
In the mid-90s.
Oh, yeah, in the mid-90s, yeah. That makes sense. It was Britpop and being green.
Double cool, yeah.
Was he a giant?
No. Just a bit tall, but he still fitted into a train station cafe.
Well, the poem doesn't mention how big this guy is relative to a train station cafe.
This why poems are bad.
That is a very specific reason why poems are bad.
One of the many reasons why poems are bad.
So here he is. He's the massive, he's the Hulk. He sets a challenge to all the knights there. He pulls out an axe. I think it's a Danish axe. And he says, oi, one of you gets a free hit on me with this axe, right? And then I get backsies. That's the deal. Who's up for it?
Mm.
What would you say, James?
Can you go away? We're having a party. Trying to have a New Year's Eve party. This is weird.
You just try and passive-aggressively hint that you wanted him to leave.
Yeah, bit weird, mate. Why don't you go somewhere else and ask them if they want to hit you with an axe? We're not into that. Not judging, but...
Well, King Arthur steps up, presumably to say this, and then sweet young Gawain, the most innocent and honourable of all the knights, and they were a pretty good bunch.
Definitely.
He intervenes. He steps up and he grabs the axe. He'll be the one to do it. He takes it and lops the Green Knight's head clean off.
And I'm sure that's the end of it.
And that's the end of the story. No.
What?
Twist! The Green Knight picks up his head, pops it straight back on, and says, all right, that was fun. See you in a year and a day in the Green Chapel, and then I'll have a go swinging the axe at you.
Oh.
And he rides off, leaving young Gawain bricking it, presumably. And the annoying thing is, he's got a year and a day to wait now, so...
Just working on his neck skin strength.
Exactly, yeah, just not skipping neck day for the whole time. He's waited the whole of spring and summer doing neck exercises.
Yeah, just doing that, where you pull... Like you've seen something embarrassing. Ooh.
Yeah, pulling the face of Blakey from
on
the butlers.
Hating those butlers.
That's what he's been doing. And now it's All Saints Day and he's on his way. Puts on his armour. He mounts his faithful steed, Gringolet. Great name for a horse.
Steed is so close to Steve.
Faithful Steve. Steve Gringolet.
Yeah.
Hello. All right, Gawain. Where are we going? Yeah. A bit early, isn't it, Gawain?
And is it Gawain, like, of Wayne? Or is it Gavin?
Gavin. I don't... Oh.
It is just Gavin, isn't it?
Sir Gavin and the Green Knight.
This was one thing I did find out. Do you know another name for Gawain?
No.
Or Gawain? Gwalchmi.
What?
Yeah, Gwalchmi.
Gwalchmi?
Which sounds like a request.
I hardly know you. Wow. Oh, yeah.
I don't know if that's how it's pronounced, but it's how it looks like it is.
I mean, that sounds amazing.
Gawain, Gavin, or Gwalchmi.
So, on Gringolet, Mr. Gwalchmi gets on Gringolet.
His faithful Steve.
His faithful Steve. And he travels across North Wales towards the Peak District. And it mentions some of the places. He goes past Anglesey. He goes past Holyhead. Now, I don't know if you've ever looked at a map, but you can't go past Holyhead.
Yeah, it's on the sticky out bit.
It's the northwest corner of Wales. Yeah. It's where you go to if you wanted to sail to Ireland. You can't pass it. And there's a lovely website by a guy called Michael Toomey, which is unfortunately not called Toomey to you, but you can't have everything, can you? And it's called Travels with Sir Gawain. And he's tried to photograph the locations that Gawain passes on his way. And he thinks that Holyhead might be Holy Well, which is a place between Rhyl and Liverpool. So that's possible. Must have been a long journey, eh, James?
Oh, yeah.
They probably camped out a little bit.
Probably. Yeah?
I've got a little recording here of you camping out with me, your faithful Steve. little gingerlet. So this is us. And I think we were a bit hungry in this recording.
Yeah. It might sound like we're in a lay-by off an A road, but we're in a tent.
Oh, a drop of rain just landed on my knee, James.
And me too.
Yeah, things are getting pretty moist and intimate.
We're in Wales.
Wales.
And I feel a bit bad that I made you walk all the way to the car to get the microphones because I said, oh, I've got something to say. Oh, but I should record it.
Yeah.
And then you walked all the way to the car in the rain and got the microphones and walked all the way back. And what I had to say was...
Yeah?
I saw a really good toaster the other day.
You sent me the car in the rain?
I'm back.
For a toaster anecdote?
Not even that, really. More just a toaster description.
Okay, well, let's hear it. It better be a flipping good toaster.
It's a really good toaster.
Let's hear it.
So, you know, most toasters are lever-based... So you have a little shunk that you put it in.
I'm familiar with toasters.
A button-based toaster.
I'm sorry?
So you put the toast in. Mm. I mean, it's a fourer, obviously.
Yes.
I wouldn't be mentioned if it wasn't. You put the toast in and then you press...
The bread.
Sorry, my...
Come on,
yes,
this is a rookie error,
that
James.
That is absolutely basic error. You put the bread in, press a button that says toast, and then...
It moves
slowly
down like an old scanner. Vroom,
and
down
then,
the bread.
And then, oh no. The bread just descends
the bread
into
moves.
The toasting realm.
Into the toasting realm.
Yes. And then there's another button, which is have a quick look. I think it's called quick look.
So it'll just pop the bread out?
It doesn't pop, that's the thing. There's no poppage. It just slowly rises. And then descends back into the toasting realm.
So it just flashes you.
Would you say
you can
see?
Just
a quick look.
Am I looking at nude bread or am I looking at toast that is
hot
ready for
toast.
Butter? Hot toast. Our toaster is just the worst. When you put it on at one, it could be in for a minute, it could be in for 3 minutes, it could completely burn. At this point, it's just a device I used to set the fire alarm off, and that is it. It has no other function in the flat. heating bread a completely arbitrary amount.
Mm. Is it one side, or does it do at least do both sides?
It's not to get into too much detail, like the element is not evenly spread on the inside. Mm. So the outside gets very well done, and then the inside not so well done. So if you're doing, say, a bagel,
right,
that's a problem. What I'm doing basically is massively heating up the outside of the bagel that my delicate human, my boyish hands are to touch, and not toasting at all the open side. That really is the side I want toasted.
Yeah, the action area of the bagel.
The action area, yeah. To some extent, I have to take responsibility for that, I suppose.
I'm not finished with the button.
Oh, sorry. Are you still describing that toaster? Is there more?
There are more buttons.
There's toast, and then there's quick look.
Quick look. Cancel.
Cancel.
There's a final button. A bit more.
The a bit more button.
The a bit more button.
It's what everyone has been crying out for.
It is. And like I said, it doesn't pop. So it rises it up and dings a little bell.
Oh, come on.
Ding, ding, ding.
Like a little bread butler.
Yes.
Your toast is ready, Master James. Ding, ding, ding. Ding.
Yeah, it was a lovely toaster.
We haven't had breakfast yet.
No.
Listener, if any of this makes it into the podcast,
we've got up. Sorry.
And James has made some very nice coffee on a little camping stove.
Mm.
So all we've done is eat chocolate and drink coffee like a pair of Frenchmen.
Where?
Pair of decadent Frenchmen.
Meh.
But not that a Frenchman would ever put up with rain like this.
Not like a Frenchman would ever not be decadent. Your Francophobia has rubbed off on me.
Yeah, yeah. You came off really anti-French there. Well done, James.
I thought it was a decent bon mot.
I don't understand those words. Don't know what that means. Don't know. Where were we in the story? Ah, that's right. Gawain was travelling. And he's probably approaching England now, northwest England. And he comes upon the castle of Lord Bertilac and his hot wife.
What?
Yep. And also a horrible old crone who probably isn't important to the story. So pay no attention to the horrible old crone. We're focused on Lord Bertilac, who seems like a great guy, and his hot wife, who seems hot.
Mm.
Lord Bertilac says, welcome you. Well, you know, we don't know exactly where the Green Chapel is, but you're welcome to stay here at Chez Bertilac for a few nights if you want. Hey, and why don't we do a fun thing? I'm going to go out hunting during the day. And when I come back from the hunt, I'll give you whatever I got on the hunt. And you can give me whatever you got back in the house, in the castle. How does that sound?
Bit weird.
Gawain agrees to it immediately, of course, because he has learned nothing.
Yeah.
He has learned nothing about making weird deals. Bertilac goes out on a hunt, and the hunts are described in what I consider to be needless and tedious detail. And on the first day, he catches a doe. Meanwhile, flash cut back to the castle. Mm. Hot wife comes in and tries to seduce Gawain.
Oh.
Mm, but you know Gawain, he cannot be seduced. And he rebuffs her, and he rebuffs her ever so gently. And in the end agrees only to receiving a single kiss. When Bertilac comes home, he says, well, I caught a doe, so here's the doe. What did you get? And Gawain gives him a little kiss on the cheek because that's what he got during the day. Second day, he goes out hunting. He comes back with a boar. Hot wife appears in Gawain's room and gives him two kisses. So Gawain ends up with a boar and he gives Bertilac a couple of kisses. The third day, he goes out hunting. He catches a fox. Meanwhile, here's hot wife in Gawain's room in his chamber yet again. Gives him three kisses. And she gives him something else as well. She has a green girdle. She takes it off and says, here, you've got to take this green girdle because it's magical and it protects the wearer from harm of any kind. As long as you're wearing it, you can't be hurt.
Mm.
And Gawain thinks, well, that would be useful.
Yeah.
Because I do have this appointment in the Green Chapel, don't I? So, all right, yes. And he puts on the green girdle. And then when Bertilac gets back, he goes, well, here's the fox I caught.
Mmm, yum.
Yes, I love a little bit of a fox burger.
Mm.
And Gawain gives him his three kisses and nothing else.
See you later.
He doesn't hand over the green girdle. He keeps that secret.
That must be fine. That won't go badly.
Yeah, that'll be fine. Just forget about all of that because it probably won't come up again. So it's about time he leaves Castle Bertilac because it's getting a bit weird.
Yeah.
More than a little strange. So he sets off and I think he's getting pretty close to the Green Chapel now. And the area where this is believed to be, according to Michael Toomey.
To you.
Yep. is a place called Nantor.
Oh, Nantor. Yeah, that's in the Peak District, isn't it?
Yes, in the Peak District.
That's near... There's Mamtor as well.
Mamtor and Nantor. Oh, wow.
Like your mam. There's Mamtor, there's Nantor. You got to go over Mamtor and then you got to go up Nantor.
And there's also Thor's Cave.
What's great about Nantor is you always get a Weathers original.
So across the valley of the Manifold River is Nantor. And Nantor is a really amazing sort of network of caves where you sort of go into the caves and then when you get into the middle, the inside has sort of fallen in. So you're in a sort of green chamber roofed with trees but open to the sky within a cave.
Ooh.
Which is sort of how the Gawain poet describes the Green Chapel. So the Green Chapel is like a huge green mound which has entrances going into it on all sides.
Mm.
And Gawain starts to realise he's in a bit of trouble. And he says, and I'm going to quote from the poem again, but I'll do the accent, so hopefully it'll be okay.
Yeah, do the accent, that makes it fun.
This is a chapel of mischance, to check it betide. It is the curse of this kirk that ere I come in, with high helm on his head, his lance in his hond, he roams up to the roof of the Roy Wands. You might have heard that I used the word check. The chapel of mischance, that check it betide. That's check, as in bad luck, as in checkmate. Bad luck, mate.
Bad luck, mate.
That's what checkmate means, it seems. So in modern English, something like, this is a chapel of mischance, that ill luck it betide. It's the most cursed church I've ever been in.
Can I just stop you there?
Yeah.
What you're saying, this is an unlucky church.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's why I don't like poems. This is an unlucky church, probably the worst church I've been in. Don't need to bang on about it, mate. I'm listening to you, and if you say it clearly, I'll understand you. You have to keep repeating it because you're not saying it clearly. Carry on.
With high helmet on his head, his lance in his hand, he roams up to the roof of the rough house.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point, I'd be a little bit nervous. I'd probably be needing a little bit of a wee. And that is a brilliant, very subtle segue.
Yes.
To this next clip from the Green Man tapes.
Oh, look, there's a little boy doing a wee.
There is a little boy doing a wee. I'm not sure it's legal for you to have made me look at that.
In Japan, by the way, fun fact, that type of fountain of a little urinating boy is quite common, more common than you'd think.
Mm. And to be honest, the fact that that kind of fountain exists at all surprises me. The fact that anybody has ever thought carving a sculpture of a little boy weeing.
Isn't it like a famous one in Belgium or something like that? But so it's recreated in lots of places in Japan, and on the little tourist map with the translation, the English translation is Piss Boy Fountain.
I mean, it is what it is.
No one's going to be either surprised or disappointed.
Well, we can dance around the truth, but it's a Piss Boy Fountain. It's what it is.
Mm.
Those are the three words that it is.
Yeah.
You can't describe it in full.
No.
Without featuring those three things.
Yeah.
It's not a piss fountain.
No.
That'd be awful.
It's not a boy.
It's not a boy fountain shooting out boys.
Yeah, exactly. That would be confusing. I think it does sound a bit like it's an actual fountain of urine.
Hmm. No, that'll be like a boy piss fountain.
It's very important what order you put the words in.
Yeah, it does matter. Hope you enjoyed listening to that, listeners. There's no law so far.
No, we'll get some.
Find some law.
And yet we did not find any law, James.
No.
We didn't find any law.
But I've started to drink more water.
Oh.
And I'm weeing so much.
You're a big boy piss fountain.
Yes. It's annoying drinking that much water.
So, this is just as seamless as I thought it was going to be. So Gawain encounters none other than the Green Knight from the beginning. Boom, boom, here he is. Boof, there's his Danish axe.
Uh-oh.
And he goes, okay, time for me to get my strike against you. And he goes to do a strike and he's like, wah! And he faints. He does like a, no, didn't do it. Oh. Just a joke. You know, like when someone pretends to give you something and then they're like, wah! He's like that.
Right, yeah.
So he goes for a second time. He's like, this one's the real one. Wah! Just kidding. Just living a little joke with you. Come on. Have a sense of humour. And Gawain isn't finding it very funny at all.
But he's not flinching, I'm guessing.
He's not flinching.
Nice. Well,
as far as I remember. Third time around, he goes, and this time he swings down and he brings the blade down and he nicks him.
Hmm?
He gives Gawain a little cut on his neck. He does not chop his head off. And Gawain's like, that knacks. But he's like, that's it. No more backsies. You did backsies on me, so no more backsies, right?
Mm.
And the Green Knight says, no more backsies indeed, young knight.
Ho, ho, ho.
He reveals himself not to be the Green Giant of pea-selling fame.
Oh.
He is none other than Lord Bertilac.
What?
Yeah. There's your M. Night Shyamalan twist. He says, I am Lord Bertilac, whose house you were just staying in, and you have passed the test. All of this was a trap set up by Morgan Le Fay.
Morgan Le Fay.
Nemesis of King Arthur, who, by coincidence, is the old woman living in Bertilac's castle.
Oh.
Yeah, her plan was to test the purity of King Arthur's knights. Now, because Gawain passed on all the kisses he got to Bertilac, holding back only the girdle, he passed the test just about. They were like, okay, you rascal. You're all right.
You could nick a girdle, but you're all right by me.
Yeah, it's not too bad. It could have been worse. So Bertilac's like, you're a legend, mate. Come back to the castle. Everyone loves you there. And Gawain says, no, because he's not happy. They didn't completely 100% pass the test.
Mm.
And he goes back to Camelot, feeling ashamed of his weakness, wearing the girdle on his arm as a sign of his failure. And the other knights feel a bit bad for him. And they all start wearing the same girdle as if to say, like, we would definitely have had sex with that hot wife. And that is the end of the story.
Wow.
Of Sir Gawain and the Green Knight.
And his weird armband.
Yeah, so it's like, oh, Gawain, where'd you get that armband? And he's like, long story.
Basically, I didn't have sex with a hot wife.
It starts at the Siege of Troy.
Yeah, yeah. Let me take you back to the Siege of Troy.
Is this more context than we need, Gawain? I've got some categories for you if you would care to score it.
Yeah, I'll score it.
Straight out the gate, let's go with supernatural.
Hmm.
How can a knight be green?
Beans.
Beans?
Beans, as we established in The Green Children of Woolpit. It could be beans.
You can become green through beans, yeah.
Through too many bean.
Mm.
The only bit of supernaturalness is that he cut the Green Knight's head off and the Green Knight reattached it.
Yeah, I mean, you say that as if that isn't pretty impressive.
But it's also established that he was a giant,
mm-hmm,
and it was a guy in a outfit.
Oh.
So it could easily be, you know, when he comes out of the Green Knight suit at the end, it's kind of like a mech suit and he's sort of just contained within the chest area.
Are you suggesting he's sort of, it's a Euro Disney type situation and they've just lopped the sort of furry head off?
What?
Like the
on Earth are they doing at Euro Disney now?
Mech suits. It's mostly mech suits. No, I mean, like, when they're dressed as cartoon characters.
And they behead each other?
They don't. No, they could. I'm not saying it has happened.
I'm not saying they should.
I'm saying it could happen. He's disguised as the Green Knight, using presumably magic.
Or a big suit.
Well, it could be a big suit, but it's...
What's more likely?
All right,
magic?
Yeah.
Or a big suit?
Magic.
Because it's established that the guy's bigger than average. Mm-hmm. Like you would be if you had a big suit on that would allow people to chop your head off.
Damn you, Shakeshaft, I think you've got me.
Did the Green Knight say things without his mouth moving and have two eye holes in his neck?
It was very much a Mr. Blobby situation, yeah.
I think one.
One, okay. Well, I disagree, but fair enough.
Because I can see how it could be done using tricks.
Oh, yeah, you've David Blaine the whole thing, yeah.
Mr. Blobby suits.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. All right, second category, names.
Yes, Gavin.
Gavin.
Like me.
Lord Bertilac.
Lord Bertilac.
Gringolet.
Faithful Steve.
Yes, exactly. Michael Toomey.
Yeah, great names. Fives. Fives all the way.
Five. Yes. Nice. Thank you. My next category, I'm confident here. I think I'm going to make up some points. Amount of green.
Oh, way, way too much green.
He was very green. He even had green jewels on his outfit, the Green Knight.
He's thinking, I'll do this in green and then they can put a popper monster on afterwards.
You think he's the first chroma keyed villain?
Yeah.
We've also got the green girdle and the green chapel.
Yeah.
The chapel of mischance, best phrase in the English language.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of green.
Unnecessary phrase, but yeah. Just say it's an unlucky church. You rambling scouser.
And probably the wee of that little boy doing a wee. Probably
a bit green.
Probably off-white at best.
Mm. Yep, it's five for green.
Yes! And my final category, this is a risk. And I hope you will respect me for taking that risk. Just like our hero, Gawain.
Mm.
My final category is Knight, shy little man. You see what I did there? Because on the one hand, it's got twists and twists and twists. It's like they invented the twist, but also Gawain, he's a shy little man, and he resisted the overtures of the hot wife.
I mean, he has mildly learned from his mistakes.
Yeah.
Did think of the consequences of your actions, especially when given what seems like a riddlesome challenge.
Yeah, it's not exactly if it's too good to be true, it probably is. It's more like if it's too weird to understand.
Don't say yes.
Don't agree to it. If it's just a really arbitrary thing where it's not obvious how it benefits you, it could be a trick.
How did he even pass the test, though, when it's like, we're going to test how good these people are. We're going to give them the opportunity to cut someone's head off. And if they do, then they've passed the first part of the test.
So what are you going to give me in the category of knight, shy little man?
I'd want to give you a high because I love the pun. Mm-hmm. I love the work you've done there. He is with the wife, but he's not shy at cutting a man's head off. Ugh. So you're going to have to lose at least 1 point for that. So I'm going to go 4. I should go 3 because it's a pretty big deal to cut someone's head off. I don't want to minimize that for modern listeners. I don't think they understand how in the past cutting someone's head off was really seen as a sort of way of disrespecting someone.
It was like their version of dissing, wasn't it?
Yeah. So a 4. Have I told you about how my father-in-law spoiled The Sixth Sense for my wife?
I don't think so.
Or told the podcast.
Tell us, listeners, if James has told us that.
If I have told you that, just skip past the next minute or listen to it again because it's one of my favourite stories. So my wife was living in Japan for a time and her dad came to visit this at the time when The Sixth Sense came out. And he said, oh, do you want to go to the cinema? We'll go see The Sixth Sense. It's great. Bruce Willis plays a ghost. And she said, I've heard there's a twist in this. Have you just spoiled it for me? And he said, no, it doesn't matter.
But listener, it did matter.
I think it's not important.
That is, I mean, he plays it like it's Casper, like he plays a ghost, like he's a funny ghost.
Yes, twist, it was important.
Wow, yeah, he's like his own M. Night shy little man. You've been listening to Lawmen with me, Alistair Beckett King.
And me, James Shakeshaft.
And if you sign up on patreon.com/lawmenpod, you can support the pod and get stuff in return.
Oh, yeah. You get stickers, some proof, and a bit of content that is as groundbreaking as it is compelling. It's the full audio of a bit of a car journey when we were driving back from the Green Man Festival.
Would that be Ride Along with the Law Boys, James?
Yeah, there's a little taste of it coming up. Maybe sign up first.
Yes,
before you hear it.
Sign up before listening to it, please. It will not persuade you.
The Law Boys are on tour.
Yes.
We're in a car.
Yes.
But this is the home leg of the tour.
Yes.
Because we went to Green Man Festival, planning to get into the rich folklore of Wales, planning to interview all the amazing comedians who were there.
Yes.
And mainly napped in a tent.
Yes.
And watched stand-up comedy.
Yes. It was really great.
It was a lovely time.
Yeah. But that's why we're now recording.
That's why we're recording in the car on the way back, because we forgot to do anything. Really. It did rain a lot, didn't it?
It did rain a lot. Hopefully we've illustrated the rain with some noise of rain. That's actual rain. Live rain. That's not stock rain. That's rain that we experience.
We're not downloading rain from the internet to illustrate rain.
Mm.
That's proper Welsh rain.
We
proper
own rain. That rain.
That's our rain. If you want to use that rain, you better credit us.
I was thinking of making it into an NFT after speaking to Sunil.
We met Sunil Patel again, who is now a crypto bro, to the surprise of no one.
He's really trying to get me into his crypto bro.
Do not do it, James. Gags. Do not do it. It's of no value.
Okay, I won't.
Thank you.
Speaking of things of no value, we're playing the pub game, though.
Yeah. Explain the pub game.
So the pub game, I got it from my wife's
family. It's a game to entertain the kids, you know, the pub game for kids. And what it is, on a journey in a car, you each take it in turns to get the amount of legs in the name of the pub
that you drive past.
That we drive past, like, so.
So James, you just drove past a place called what?
A hot air balloon.
You just drove past the hot air balloon, James.
Who calls a pub the hot air balloon?
That said, a hot air balloon doesn't have to have a person in it. So that's zero.
Yeah, unless the image on the pub sign has legs.
So if it had a little person in the hot air balloon, yes, you would have got two.
Yes.
So I've just driven past the Seven Springs.
Yeah.
And that's no also legs. Zero. So the no game legs. Is really hotting up, listener.
Yeah.
You have joined us at the least exciting, least dramatic stage of the game.
And you're on 10?
I'm on 10. And
I'm on 4.
James on 4, which is lower than 10, actually.
Yes, that is a smaller number currently.
Yes, for now.
Yes.
So it's pretty exciting.
Yeah. Frog meal. It's got a frog on that.
Is that a pub?
Four legs.
Is that a pub?
Yes.
Do frogs have four legs, or do they have two legs and arms?
Oh.
Now they've got legs. We're recording in the car. Is that a crime, James? Is it illegal to podcast in a car? Because you're driving.
But we're talking.
Just to be clear, we don't have a driver.
Yes. I'm not going to put it out me incriminating myself.
No.
As recording myself whilst driving.
Well, let's just fictionalise a driver. So it's me and James in a carriage.
Yeah.
Being drawn by
Clive Rodolfo.
No, his parents were Italian.
It can't be illegal to podcast and drive yet.
It's exactly the kind of thing they would want to stop, James. We're out here trying to get the truth out on the road, trying to keep one step ahead of the authorities, the thought police.
The pod police.
The pod police, listening and having opinions.
The pod plod.
PC pod. Yes.
I see why they would want to stop.
Yeah.
This kind of fiery content.
Mm-hmm. It's too dangerous.
So you can't play the pub game next.